Thank you for that, Larry. We are talking, in fact, about this very subject tonight. I mean, I know we talk about this all the time, sharing the gospel with people, but it's right here, very specifically, in the end of John chapter 1. It's what happens when the first disciples are called. So tonight we're looking at the calling of the first disciples and who goes about calling them. So if you would, open up in Scripture with me to John chapter 1. We'll begin tonight in verse 35 and go ahead and finish this chapter this evening. I do have a few announcements I should have mentioned to you this morning and need to mention to you still. We're trying to figure out when and how to do announcements because we don't like having them in the taking up of the time during worship. However, it's rather important to communicate. So it's both the rather important to communicate, but also don't like it taking up a lot of time in the worship service. So we'll get this sorted at one point where there's some things announced, but announced in a timely way. Anyway, a few that you might want to know. The budget that was approved by the church at the business meeting that we had, that 2017 budget that was approved, it is on these little back round tables in the foyer, so you're welcome to pick one of those up and see. I mean, it's got everything on it, and we're a big transparency operation, and so you're welcome to see all of it back there. Also, this would have been really good to mention this morning, Evening Children's Church started tonight, so you may have known about that one, but we have, once again, on Sunday night now, something for everybody. There's preschool childcare, but there's also, we're just calling it Evening Children's Church right now, so we come up with a good name. There's a bunch of volunteers, along with Allison Blanton, our preschool and children coordinator, who have the children's program going on this evening. And their plan is to serve it almost as an extension of Sunday morning children's church, kind of carry that over into Sunday night. That will be going all the time, so there is something for everyone in all age groups here on Sunday night at our church, and so I'd love to see everybody here on Sunday night at our church. Next Sunday, we will have normal sermon. We'll be in John chapter 2 with Jesus changing water into wine. However, we will also have a bit of a what's going on in 2017 talk. So we'll have that kind of a, however you call that, an address. But we'll give you the answer to some of those questions like, so what's taking so long in that building, right? That you might have asked yourself, and anyone who's asked me, you know, we kind of share that and talk about it, but I'll be able to give you next Sunday a little bit of timeline about plans for building and accommodating people on Sunday morning, where we'll do with that. Budget's already out, and that's good. We'll talk about mission trip for this next year and where we go in 2017. So there's a lot of things that it's, the big question is building, like, hey, what's the timeline on that? Where are we in the process, and when can we start seeing some progress? The answer, hopefully, is soon. We also have our big spring events this year will be Revival, which ought to be large and incredible. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in the sermon. And Easter, which is always a lot of fun. So I think we'll put together a big, fun Easter program this year. So all those things coming up next Sunday. I'll give you the full details on a lot of those. Finally, the Hall family, Susan and Dwight Hall, left a card this morning just thanking the congregation for all the kindness that they showed. We showed to the Hall family as Dwight's brother passed away recently. And so that card is out here in our little information room if you'd like to take a look at that. But just know that they very much appreciate all the comfort that our church offered and all the prayers our church offered for their family. All right, you guys ready? Let's do this one. Here's what happens now. We have in our first chapter of John, Jesus coming into the world, talking about Jesus pre-existing all creation. And then we have John the Baptist's message about Jesus. And now we get to Jesus actually gathering up some disciples. So tonight what we look at is the very first disciples that were called, how Jesus goes about gathering up disciples, what it looks like for them to invite other people to follow Jesus, so we can talk about, yeah, you guessed it, what it looks like for us to call other people to follow Jesus. Let's pray, and we'll begin reading in John chapter 1, verse 35. Father God, thank you that we can gather together in your name to study your word. Father, put your spirit on us. Teach us something new about you so that we can worship you all the better. Father, it is such a delight to worship you together. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." And then he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord tonight. You see, the first disciples begin to come, and the first disciples begin to come because of whose testimony? Go ahead and be responsive on this one. Who is testifying that Jesus Christ is Lord? Yeah, it's John the Baptist, who, by the way, I should make clear, is different from John the Apostle who's writing this, right? Good down one. John the Baptist is saying, "Look, this is the Lamb of God." He's pointing to Jesus. As Jesus walks by, every time he sees Jesus, he says, "That's the one. That's the Messiah." That's the first testimony that we have about Jesus is John's. And so John's disciples say, "Well, we should probably go follow this guy. If this guy is in fact the Messiah, let's see who he is and what he's doing." And they begin following after Jesus. And they begin going after him to see what he's doing, where he's staying, what he says about himself. They started to follow Jesus properly. And then one of the two is named Andrew, and this one has a brother who is? That's right, it's Peter. So you've got these two guys who are disciples of John, and they start following after Jesus because of John's testimony. One of them has a brother who's Peter, and he goes and tells his brother to come and, "We found the Messiah, come on." So Peter begins following after Jesus as well. And then the next day you have Jesus going and finding Philip, still in the same region, and Jesus is the one who calls Philip. And he says, "Philip, follow me." And then Philip goes and finds a friend, and who's that? That's right. So how many people in here do we have following after Jesus? We've got the original two, one unmentioned, one Andrew. We've got Peter added in here. We've got Philip, and we've got Nathanael, right? So there's five, and how many does Jesus himself invite? One, Philip. And other than that, the other four come from either John's testimony or from each other's testimony. They are out there saying, "We found him. We found the one. Jesus is Lord. This is the Messiah that we've been looking for." You know, what's interesting is that, who is it here? Verse 45, Philip says, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." He's saying, "We found the Messiah and we found the prophet, the one Moses wrote about, this coming prophet we talked about from this morning, and also the Messiah that the prophets wrote about." He's both of them. He gets this from very early on, Philip. So we found the one who's the prophet, and we found the one who's the Messiah, and it's the same guy. So come on and follow after him. All right, it's pretty simple, right? There's no voodoo going on here. There's no magic tricks. Nobody has anything hidden up their sleeves. What do? They simply go to the people around them and say, "You need to come follow after Jesus with me. I found a Savior who is worth knowing, and you need to come and follow him with me." So you don't need any voodoo or magic or any like secret card trick or secret explanation for inviting somebody to follow after Jesus with you. This is how it works, and this is how it has worked from this original testimony on down to you and I who are here today, is that somebody told somebody else that Jesus Christ was the Lord. I ask you, who told you first? Think about it. Have you ever tried to do the faith genealogy? Have you ever gone to that person and said, "Who told you about this, by the way? When did you first believe?" And then tried to work back another generation, say, "What about that person? Do you know that one?" My dad tried to do this once, but it's hard to follow. This isn't the sort of thing that's known this side of heaven. However, this is the way it works every day, is somebody simply going to someone else and telling them, Jesus Christ is Lord. He loves you dearly. And if you follow after him, you'll have the forgiveness of your sins. You'll also have eternal life in him. Why don't you come on? And then Nathanael gives that kind of rebuke. He says, what good thing has ever come out of Nazareth? It's kind of the hills, right? It's kind of the backwoods. It's not a fashionable place to be from. It's sort of a byline and a joke. It'd be like when we're in Texas, we make fun of Arkansas. Of course, when we're in Texas, we make fun of every state that is around Texas. So Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico, they're all subject for humor, right? We make fun of all of them. And it would be like that, say, what sort of good thing can come out of Oklahoma, right? Is it a hurricane? I mean, is it a tornado? If it's a tornado or some oil, I believe you. Other than that, nothing's come out of there. It says, what good thing has come out of Nazareth? And Philip's response is simply, just come and see. You know, do you have somebody? I mean, you even heard the story tonight that Larry was saying. You know, you have somebody who has something you don't know the answer to. You're not exactly sure what they said, or they have some kind of rebuff for following along with you, going to church or following Christ. And what's your response to that? You don't always have to have a right response to that answer. The right response is simply, why don't you just come and see? Why don't you come along anyway? Yeah, I hear you on that one. I maybe don't have an answer for your question. That doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and he loves you dearly. Why don't you come and see for yourself? You need to know this. And that is a reasonable answer. You don't need to have answers beyond that. If you do, good for you. If you do, excellent. But like we said this morning, the power is not in knowing the right answer all the time. The power is in the Holy Spirit who is on your life. And so the testimony itself can simply be, yeah, I don't know about that, but why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and hear it? I've heard over time all kinds of people who, when invited to church, have said some crazy answer. Or who, when the gospel's been shared with them, if you ask, you know, hey, what do you believe about God? Say something crazy. I was on a mission trip one time in Estes Park, Colorado, right? So that's the beginning of this story, so you can tell where it's going. Somebody's going to say something crazy because we're up in the middle of, Retreat, Colorado. We're in Estes Park. I'm out there on a mission trip with a church, and the pastor's going around sharing the gospel. He goes into the ski shop that in the summer rents other things. And we're there in the summer, and he talks to the guy. He says, hey, listen, what do you believe about God? And the how you say, ski bum, the guy who works there says, straight-faced, I believe that we are controlled by aliens, and all of our thoughts and everything that we do are controlled by aliens from another planet. And the pastor I'm working with goes, yeah, all right, so forget about that. Jesus Christ, his goal was always the, what do you believe about God? And to use as a segue to start talking about Jesus, he had no segue for that. The only answer was, all right, whatever. Listen, Jesus Christ is Lord. He loves you very much, and he has a good plan for your life. Sometimes there's no good answer for somebody's whatever weird, crazy thing people say, but you don't need it. Nathanael scoffs because he sees this as a lesser place. He says, what good can come out of Nazareth? Absolutely not the Messiah. To which Philip simply says, come and see. And that is an appropriate answer for all of us. You don't have to know what to say necessarily. Say, it's okay to say, listen, I don't know about all that, but Jesus has loved me and forgiven my sins, and he'll do yours too. Why don't you come and see? This is a good way to answer. Also, you'll notice the first people who are called, Andrew and his friend who's not named here, perhaps the gospel writer. We have that from early tradition, though it's not written here, so it could be anybody. But Andrew goes, and the first person that he invites is his brother. He goes home to his brother. We do have a first ministry to our family. Our witnessing about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done, it does start at home. It cannot end at home, but it does start there. What child, what sibling, what parent, what aunt or uncle do you need to share the gospel with and invite to church? It starts there. We also, as I mentioned, are doing a revival this spring. I'm really excited about this. I don't have, in the culture that I come from and the kind of churches that I come from, we don't have like tent revival culture. You know, I haven't gotten to be as part of as many of those as some of you guys have been, but I'm excited about it. And so we talked about this as a congregation, a business meeting. Richard and I began this discussion and said, listen, if we're going to do this, let's do it awesome. Like, if we're going to do it, let's do it for real. And if we're going to invite anybody to come along with us to church, we're going to have to find another space to do it because we don't have enough room in here on Sunday morning. So if we start on Sunday morning, you bring in somebody who's good if you bring some good music people in, and if you bring a good revivalist in, and we go about inviting people and knocking on some doors and hanging out some door hangers and sending off mailers, if we actually do the good work of inviting folks, we won't get anywhere to put them. So we're going to need to rent a tent, which is kind of awesome because it's a revival. So let's have the tent revival going on. We found a date, March 19th, which is usually not yet warm, maybe still a little bit cool in the evenings, which is fine. So we've got a tent with heaters and room for 300 people. We all found that together. Richard enlisted the Wisnitz to come and be our worship leaders for Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Adam Crabb will be there, which I'm really excited about too. I've met him at the Gaither concert, and I like that guy. He's a nice one. And so Adam Crabb's going to be doing our music Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Our revivalist, John Reed, out of Georgia. He's been here before, apparently. However, I'm going to try and get him out here in February, so on a Sunday morning, so that we can hear him before he comes out for revival, so we know what we're talking about, you know, so you can kind of get a feel for the guy before he comes out for revival. So we got the revivalist, we got the tent, we got the music is going to be excellent. And it's on us. We've put all this together. The part that's missing is we've got to go out and actually invite some people to come in here. If we don't do that, then there's no purpose for it. We may not have seats on Sunday morning every Sunday to seat everybody, but there is still always room at Christ's table. And we want them sitting there. So we'll set up revival. We're working on things for preschool and for children and for youth to kind of go along with it. Talking about meals or at least s'mores, fire pits afterwards, or ice cream. If you want to be a part of organizing this, we need some help, by the way. I could use some, not necessarily a committee, but at least, you know, a squad. I could use a crew. And so if you want to be on squad, come along. Let's talk about that. We need some help putting it together and organizing it. But listen, the way that the gospel is spread here, this passage is overlooked a lot, not often preached on, but it's beautiful because you see the first people hearing about Jesus and the first people believing in Jesus, and they do it through the simple testimony of, I found a Savior and I want you to come find Him also, so come along with me. We have an opportunity to do that every day. We will make a concerted effort across the next few months in preparing for revival to do the same. Next thing you see in this passage is that Jesus changes Peter's name, right? His name is Simon. His name gets changed to Peter, which means rock. It's a neat nickname if you're going to get changed. If Jesus is going to change your nickname to something, to rock is kind of awesome. This happens a lot in Scripture. This is normal. It happens to Abraham, whose name was Abram. It happens to Israel, whose name was Jacob. Anytime some big change happens in someone's life where God calls them to a special purpose, there's also this history of changing their names. It will happen again to Saul, who becomes Paul. And here we have, as soon as Jesus meets Peter, he says, listen, your name's Simon, but for now on you're going to be known as Peter. So radical is the change in our life when we choose to follow after Christ, you might as well have a new name. And have you ever seen somebody who you knew them before they were a believer, and then you saw the change in their life after they were a believer? You ever run into somebody years later who you barely recognized or you weren't sure? I didn't know you were a Christian. Like, what are you doing here? How did you come to faith in Jesus? So radical is the change that God works in our life. You might as well change your name. I mean, don't. I know you're thinking of something awesome like stone, right, or river. But don't change it. However, this is normal for all of us who come to faith in Christ. He radically changes what's going on in our life by radically changing our purpose. That's what he does here for Peter. Is he gives Peter a whole new purpose. And so in radically changing Peter, your whole life is now going to be about something different than what it was about before. And that central purpose in your life that changes everything else. Whatever your life was about, whatever you spent your time doing or concerning yourself about now in Christ is going to be so different, you might as well get a name change. The last thing you see here is Nathanael is shocked when Jesus kind of demonstrates that he can see him, that he has this predestination sort of knowledge, that he has this omniscience. Jesus simply says, yeah, I saw you back when you were sitting underneath the fig tree. First thing, when Nathanael comes to Jesus, he says, oh, look, you are an Israelite in whom there is nothing false. There's no deceit in you. He perceives, he knows Nathanael. He knows that Nathanael is not a fisherman like some of these other guys. Nathanael's a scholar. And he says, yeah, I know who you are. Nathanael says, how do you know me? Jesus says, I even saw you sitting underneath a fig tree having this conversation about Nazareth. I knew even about that. To which demonstrating this knowledge, this power that Christ has. Nathanael says, I'm in. I mean, that's his answer immediately is, oh, you're the Son of God. I know it. Nobody else has ever been able to do that. Nobody else sees things when they're not there, knows what's going on everywhere in the world. To which Jesus responds, is that all you needed? Is that it, Nathanael? In following me, you're going to see even greater things than this. I say to you the same thing. Anyone who follows after Christ, you're in for a wild ride. You're going to see some incredible things. But this is only if you actually endeavor yourself to follow after Christ. You will not see wild, wonderful, miraculous things if you never actually endeavor yourself to follow Him. If you nod your head at His name, if you say, yep, Jesus is going to be my Lord, and come along and quietly attend, but never actually participate in the work, you won't see these amazing things that God is doing. You ever run into like an old missionary who has crazy stories? You know, like an old pastor who has seen some stuff and has some wild stories to tell about it? It's only the ones who are actually out there spreading the gospel, who are actually out there inviting people to follow after Christ. When they are doing this, they see and are a part of the miraculous work of God. Or if you don't join into the miraculous work of God, you don't tend to see these sort of miracles. So I give you the same answer that Nathan got. Anyone who endeavors to follow after Jesus Christ, anyone who will go about putting their hand to the plow and doing the work, I would say to you as well, you haven't seen anything yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. The things that God will do, the things that are planned for Him to do in our kingdom, the question are amazing. The question is simply for us, are we going to be a part of them or not? Tonight I call you to choose. Be a part of God's work this year. There are so many people in this area who need to know Jesus Christ as Lord. There is so much darkness. I mean, there's all kinds of sin going on all around us here in Aiken. There's people who are trapped in habits and addiction and sin patterns who don't know any better. And you can be the one to go and tell them, hey, listen, there's a better life for you. Jesus Christ saved me out of this, and He can save you out of it too. Why don't you come along and see? Let's endeavor ourselves to be fruitful in 2017. Father God, thank You so much for letting us get to be a part of Your work. Thank You that it is as simple as this, going and inviting someone, going and telling someone about You. Father, as we endeavor ourselves to be faithful witnesses to Your Lordship, to what You did on the cross for us, I pray that You would bless our witness, that we could bear much fruit. Father, as we prepare ourselves for this revival event, Father, give us strength and boldness to do all the preparation work that we need to do in order to make this a wonderful event. Father God, I pray also that You would bring about a great revival and salvation in this area. Something so large and incredible that we never dreamed of. Something so wonderful that we end up just being a small part of. If we could even get to be a part, that would be a joy of our lives. And this I pray in Your name. Amen.